So I'm just going to introduce the first speaker and then ask them to introduce their co-authors. So we'll use that as the format here. And our first paper is Minimizing Part D Costs for Medicare Beneficiaries. The speaking author is Rajul Patel, and he's from the University of the Pacific in Stockton, California, the School of Pharmacy. And I'm, I guess I said I've asked him to introduce his co-authors, several of whom are here. So, Rajul.
Thank you very much. Can you guys hear me? Okay. So I'm going to introduce my co-authors, and if you guys can please stand when I do introduce you. Dr. Kate O'Dell, Tiffany Chu, who's a student pharmacist who's going to be assisting me today with the presentations, Shu Liu, a student pharmacist, Kenny Wang, Dr. Joe Wolfel, and I think that's everyone here. Okay. And Dr. Suzanne Galal, thank you. Okay. I apologize for that. I'm going to preface this with just letting you know that my students tell me my lectures are sometimes like taking a sip of water from a fire hydrant. So if I go too fast, you got to just reel me in. Okay? All right. So we're going to talk about minimizing Part D costs for Medicare beneficiaries, not just a drop in the bucket. And here's the disclosure. I have no personal financial relationships with this presentation to disclose. In terms of a background, I'm sure many of you are familiar with Medicare, but just so we're on the same page, there are 50.7 million Medicare beneficiaries in this country currently, or roughly one in every six Americans actually qualifies for receipt of Medicare benefits. Now, if you look at Medicare beneficiaries, predominantly we think of it as the elderly, and that's true. About 85% of all Medicare beneficiaries qualifies based on age, being 65 years of age or older. Again, since you have mostly seniors and you look at the median income, there was a recent study that was reported in the Journal of American Medical Association that reported the median income for Medicare beneficiaries was $22,000, which means half of all Medicare beneficiaries actually have annual incomes less than that. Many of us have heard about the federal poverty line, I'm sure, but what you might not have heard of is something called the supplemental poverty threshold. And this was actually another metric that was created by the U.S. Census Bureau. It's a little bit different in how they calculate the federal poverty line. Here what they do is, in addition to income, they actually also calculate governmental tax credits and government in-kind assistance like food stamps. That all counts towards income. And then what's subtracted out are healthcare expenditures. And when you look at that, the percent of seniors with incomes less than 100% of this threshold nationally is about 15%. In our state, where we're from, California actually has the highest percentage of seniors that are living 100% or below this threshold at 20%. Most Medicare beneficiaries have a Medicare Part D plan. The Part D plan offers prescription drug benefits. About 32 million Medicare beneficiaries actually get their prescription drug coverage through Medicare. 40% of those Medicare beneficiaries actually qualify for additional governmental assistance with their prescription drug costs. So this can be in the form of Medicaid and or something called the low-income subsidy. Clearly from the previous slide, you can see that most Medicare beneficiaries are seniors, and as you know, most seniors have limited income and resources. So what we did at the University of the Pacific is we actually had a series of outreach events that were conducted during the Medicare open enrollment period. And we actually had these events throughout Northern and Central California. And the intent of these sessions were basically to have trained student pharmacists that actually assisted Medicare beneficiaries during individualized counseling sessions. And specifically, the intent of these counseling sessions was to help lower out-of-pocket cost. And we did so through four different cost minimization strategies, each of which I'm going to discuss in a few minutes. But they include optimizing a beneficiary's Part D plan, seeing if they qualify for the low-income subsidy, assisting them with pharmaceutical assistance program applications, and also something that's called therapeutic interchange. Ultimately, again, the outcome of interest was seeing if we could actually lower out-of-pocket cost. We measured both and collected both demographic and interventional data. So here's the demographic and clinical characteristics. I know the font is rather small, so let me just highlight a few things that I want to draw your attention to. During the events that we've talked about, we assisted about 600 different Medicare beneficiaries. Very similar to national averages, the predominant number of Medicare beneficiaries were enrolled in a standalone Part D plan. And just so we're all on the same page, what that means is that plan just offers prescription drug coverage. Okay, so they usually combine that with original Medicare to get their hospital and their medical benefit. Also, very similar to the previous slide, about 40% of individuals that we assisted during these targeted outreach events were actually low income. And what that means is they actually were living at or below 150% of the federal poverty line. So they either qualified for Medicaid or the low-income subsidy, which I'll refer to as LIS. Here are the four cost minimization strategies that the students conducted to assist Medicare beneficiaries. And the first we're going to talk about is therapeutic interchange. And if there's healthcare practitioners out there, this might be a term that's familiar to you. But just so we're on the same page, I'm going to describe what this means. It's basically when you identify a medication that's chemically similar to a different medication, but chemically different but therapeutically similar. So the easiest way to think about this is perhaps a patient is taking a brand name medication, and there's a generic medication that's in the same class, the same pharmacological class, but obviously by being generic it's going to be at a significantly lower cost, but provides the same clinical benefit. Okay? So what we did here was we measured the impact of these therapeutic interchanges by looking at their Part D plan cost before those therapeutic interchanges were instituted and then after. And that would represent potential cost savings. Here's our bucket. Okay, so you guys have heard of the term a drop in the bucket, the colloquial term, which means sort of an insignificant contribution. Well, here you're going to see it's rather significant because, again, what we're trying to do is put money back in the pockets of the Medicare beneficiaries that we're assisting. And the way the bucket is constructed is each level of the bucket is going to show you the impact, the financial impact of the different types of interventions that were conducted. On the right-hand side of the bucket, you can see on the bottom, it says total interventional savings. So what's going to be reported there is specifically for that intervention, for that cost minimization strategy, what was the total aggregate cost savings? And on the left-hand side is the average savings per person that was assisted with that intervention. So when we talk about therapeutic interchange, there were 7 individuals that were assisted, which again, they were basically identified that they were taking a medication in which a generic was available that was therapeutically comparable, but that was going to lower their cost. And on average, it would have lowered their cost $1,300. Our second intervention was the low-income subsidy. And most Medicare beneficiaries are completely unaware of the low-income subsidy. Basically, if you don't qualify for Medicaid, if your income is a little bit higher, between 100 to 150% of the federal poverty level, you potentially can still qualify for additional governmental assistance with your Part D drug cost. So the way we determined if a beneficiary was potentially eligible for the low-income subsidy was we asked them a series of questions based on the number of people they have in the household, their household income, and then also their assets. Clearly sensitive questions, but they also understood the purpose of us asking those questions. If they qualified, and this is an and, so they have to qualify on both the income threshold and the asset threshold to qualify for LIS. But if they were deemed potentially eligible, what we did was we went onto the Social Security website and we went out and filled the entire LIS application for them on their behalf. 16 such beneficiaries. So recall again, we assisted about 600 Medicare beneficiaries, 16 of whom were found potentially eligible for this low-income subsidy. And you see here two different letters, a P and an F. What the P represents is a partial subsidy. So this basically represents a little bit of the higher income earners, between 135 and 150% of the federal poverty level. Since they have a little bit of a higher income, they don't make, or they their cost savings aren't as pronounced as individuals that qualify for the F, or the full subsidy. Those are individuals whose incomes are between 100 to 135% of the federal poverty level. So that was our second cost minimization strategy. Our third cost minimization strategy was pharmaceutical assistance programs. Now, yes, Medicare Part D provides prescription drug coverage for Medicare beneficiaries, but it doesn't cover, no plan covers all medications that are available. And there are going to be certain individuals who need to take a brand name medication that's not on the formulary, and maybe their income is slightly too high to qualify for Medicaid or LIS. Well, what we identified was potentially the opportunity to find pharmaceutical assistance programs that could help them lower their cost. And here, you'll see that we assisted 28 such people with pharmaceutical assistance program applications, and that in aggregate, they saved almost $36,000, or $1,274 per beneficiary. Our fourth and last approach is called what we call Part D plan optimization. And specifically, what we did was we actually utilized the Medicare Plan Finder tool. Okay, it's available on www.medicare.gov. And you can enter beneficiary-specific information, like their zip code, their Medicare claim number, their date of birth, a variety of other factors. And then you have to enter in all of their prescription medications, where they like to pick them up in terms of their preferred pharmacy. And by doing so, it will basically identify for you all the plans that are available in that region for that beneficiary, the associated costs with each of those plans. So what we did here was we actually looked to see if we can lower their Part D plan cost. And how is that calculated? Very simply like this. We said, okay, if you remain in your current plan that you're in 2012, in the upcoming year, in 2013, what are your estimated annual costs? Versus if we identify the lowest cost plan for you based on your medication mix and your preferred pharmacy, what would be the cost of that plan? So your current plan versus the lowest cost plan. The difference between those two would represent potential cost savings. 535 beneficiaries, we evaluated their Part D plan to see if there were potential cost-saving opportunities that they could realize. And what we found was, on average, they could save $1,334 by simply re-examining their Part D plan. Sort of like the Geico commercial, give us 15 minutes, we'll save you 15%. Give us 30 minutes, we'll save you $1,300. Since this was our biggest intervention, I wanted to dissect this a little bit further to give you guys a little bit more granularity in terms of the data. What you see on the right-hand side is basically we have cubes, and the cubes are dissected as a function of whether or not that individual qualified for a subsidy, right? So if you look at the gray area, these are non-subsidy recipients. Okay, they did not have Medicaid or the low-income subsidy. And the peach area, if you will, represents subsidy recipients. To the right of the cube, you see annual savings. So this is simply by optimizing their Part D plan, what was the potential annual savings that they could realize on their medication cost? Well, zero savings is what you see initially. Now you might be wondering, well, what would that represent? What that represents is basically their plan in 2012 was going to remain the lowest cost plan in 2013. So there was nothing that they could switch to experience a cost savings. But you can also see, regardless of subsidy status, it looks like only about 20% of individuals would not have realized even a dollar savings by switching Part D plans. So that means 80% could have saved money. If we look at the next strata, almost one in two individuals that actually qualified for Medicaid or the low-income subsidy could have saved between $1 and $99, okay, in terms of annual drug costs. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a huge amount, but you have to also realize that, again, these individuals are living at or below 150% of the federal poverty line. So for them, every dollar probably makes a significant difference. In addition, if you look at potential savings just by Part D plan optimization that are at or exceed $1,000 annually, almost one in four non-subsidy recipients could experience at least $1,000 savings by simply switching to a better, more cost-effective Part D plan. So in summary, what did we find? Well, in aggregate, through these four approaches, we found that the beneficiaries that we assisted could save almost $770,000. And this was just over the course of 1 year. On average, that meant $1,440 per year per beneficiary that's assisted if you assist them with this armamentarium of cost minimization strategies. Targeted assistance can significantly lower beneficiary out-of-pocket cost, as we've said. And another take-home point, especially for beneficiaries or those who work as beneficiary advocates, it is imperative to annually have them reevaluate their Part D plan. Because this has sort of borne itself out over the several years that we've collected data. Almost between 8 and 9 out of 10 Medicare beneficiaries can save money by simply annually reevaluating their Part D plan. So that's really important. Also found that advocates, as pharmacy students were, can potentially help lower beneficiary out-of-pocket cost through using a comprehensive approach, not only looking at the Part D plan, but seeing if a patient can potentially qualify for the low-income subsidy and also assisting them with pharmaceutical assistance programs. And student pharmacists and other trained healthcare providers can actually help lower out-of-pocket cost by making therapeutic recommendations to the prescriber. You know, drugs like Crestor 5 milligrams, which is going to lower your cholesterol, but you could take a generic like Lipitor, the generic atorvastatin, at a higher dose, it's going to cause the same cholesterol reduction, but at a fraction of the cost. It's going to save the healthcare system money, It's going to save the Medicare beneficiary money. Ultimately, cost minimization strategies can clearly lower out-of-pocket cost, decrease cost-related medication non-adherence, and by doing so, hopefully, we can improve the quality of life of the beneficiaries that we assist. Thank you.
So before we ask for questions, does any of the co-authors have anything that they want to add to emphasize? Okay, so we have a couple minutes now for questions. Does anyone have a question for
me? Yes. Gentleman in the... Yes. Thank you.
You mentioned that you could save $1,400 or so a year. What was the average cost before your intervention with the device? I would guess it would be in the $2,000 range. So you were saving probably over 50%.
Correct. Correct. It was just under $3,000 for the average cost for Medicare beneficiaries. Okay.
If we can chat sometime, because
be very interested in that.
If we know someone's drug use, we should be able to find their plan through the plan characteristics file, and then we could look for a lower cost plan in the region. It would take an awful lot of work, but maybe there's something.
Thank you very much for that. Yes. No problem. Yes, we did talk about therapeutic interchange through low-cost generics.
And educating them to buy them off
their plan, right, so they don't, right.
And two, did you think a little bit about how the Affordable Care Act is going to be?
I didn't, but, you know, it's a good question because I get this from Medicare beneficiaries all the time. The Affordable Care Act, one of the largest things that's going to happen or that has happened as a result of the Affordable Care Act is the shrinking of the donut hole by the government providing subsidies for brand and generic medications. In 2014, the subsidy for brand name medications is going to be 52.5% and for generics is 28%. Sure. The way it works, it's actually a point-of-sale discount. So if a Medicare beneficiary hits the coverage gap, also referred to as the donut hole, they don't actually have to fill out any paperwork. When they go to the pharmacy will go ahead and process that claim through the individual's insurance company, and that discount will be applied immediately. So if it's a $100 drug that's a brand-name medication, there's a 52.5% discount. They're going to have to pay $47.50 plus a few more dollars for the dispensing fee to the pharmacy. No paperwork needs to be filled out. Point of sale discount, really easy from the beneficiary's perspective.
So full price is being hit the donut, regular pricing, and then it's shrinking the donut.
Discount. Correct. The discount only applies towards the donut hole. Right. Yes, sir.
That was a really good presentation.
Thank you.
So it seems like the bulk of the savings were from the sort of incorrect plan choice.
Right. Yes.
I was wondering if you could comment on that. This approach that you're doing, sort of scalability versus, is the right policy approach just to shrink the number?
It's almost like you're a plant because literally our next presentation is going to address exactly that. So thank you for that. But if you can hold on, I'll answer it.
I'm going to say, well, because he's going to speak again, we'll have a chance to ask more questions, but we want to keep somewhat on time. And in order to get this properly recorded, I'm now going to introduce the next paper, which is Medicare Part D Prescription Drug Costs and Plan Satisfaction as a Function of Student Pharmacist Assistance. And again, our speaker is Rajul Patel with his colleagues from the University of the Pacific at Stockton. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.